Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James. Ding-a-ling, it's Saturday. Oh, it's a bonus episode, a live off-menu tour show. Our second and final night in London. It was at the Palladium. And our special guest is the wonderful Mike Wozniak.
Everyone's favourite Taskmaster contestant.
Third.
Yes. Third.
Judy Love, Fern Brady, Mike Wozniak.
Oh, yeah. Now, there will be some callbacks to the first half. Might not make sense. But listen, the secret ingredient. And this definitely won't make sense. The weird little milks in hotels.
Yes, UHT milks. Yeah, that's the secret ingredient.
Little peel back
lid. It doesn't have to make sense because I think that would be a brilliant secret ingredient for a regular episode. We wouldn't need to explain it, really.
There were some nights on this tour where the audience would suggest a secret ingredient and I'd think, surely we've already done that.
Yeah.
And we hadn't. And I almost felt, like, ashamed.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the matter with us that we haven't done the little UHT milks from hotels? I mean, they're so awful.
So awful. But I tell you what's not awful, Mike Wozniak.
Mike Wozniak is fantastic. We love Mike. And it was a joy to be able to talk to him at the Palladium.
It was
finally do an episode with him, but have it in front of such a lovely audience.
Yes, so here it is. Let's just get on with it. It's the off-menu menu live of Mike Wozniak. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the ice cubes of conversation, pouring in the cream of humour, adding the vanilla extract of friendship, and blitzing in the blender of the internet. It's a classic vanilla ice cream podcast. It's the Better Than Pineapple Pod.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James A. Castler. Together, we own a dream restaurant. And every single week, we invite in a guest and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is
Mike Wozniak. Long time coming, James.
Long time coming. We've been big fans of Mike from day one. We're so glad that everyone's here to see Mike Wozniak, hear his brilliant food choices. I'm just very conscious after how tired out I got of my health. So I'm just checking how much.
The old pinch test.
Just doing a little pinch of the hips.
Yes.
But it's not about me, Ed.
No. Like, if there's anyone I've ever met who less needs a pinch test, treat yourself like you're an overbearing mother in the 70s.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Pinch chest, man. You're all good.
Thank you, man.
This is the off-menu menu of Mike Wozniak! Come and take a seat, Mike.
Thank you.
Right there in the middle. Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you, Mike.
James, what are you doing?
Sorry?
We've got to do this properly, Mike. We've got to do it properly.
Okay, sorry, yeah. So I haven't seen James yet, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes. Okay. You've not seen the genie yet.
Fine.
Now, at this point, normally we invite the guest to rub the lamp at this point, but you can, but also, knowing that James has just pulled a muscle, I think it's quite funny to leave him squatting there for a while. But if you would like to get up and rub the lamp, you're very welcome to, Mike. You go for it.
Is there anywhere in particular that is most effective, or...?
It depends on which genie law you subscribe to, Mike. So.
Okay. Well, you don't cap it, do you?
You don't normally rub the lamp's undercarriage.
It feels indecent to go for this and the sort of prong.
Yes. Jess Knappett did rub the tip, but you do what you want.
Okay. Now, let's not... I'll go for the sort of the bulbous, fleshy mass...
Oh,
Welcome, Mike Watney, at the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Thank you.
I mean, I've seen that maybe 12 times now, yeah. And it's always impressive.
I think it's quite impressive. I've only ever seen it from that side, but...
You appear to come directly out of the nozzle. You've lined it up perfectly.
Yes.
Yeah. That took a lot of practice.
Yeah.
lead with this part of the... where your forehead meets your scalp.
Yeah.
You've got to lead with that.
Okay. That's the pathfinder, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, what would be your... if you had to jump out of a lamp, what would be your technique, Mike?
Probably go breech. And see if anyone came to assist. That's the sort of test of friendship, I think, early doors.
I'd be gutted if I found a genie lamp and it was a breech genie.
You've got to act fast.
The old medical background coming into play
I try and ignore it. Kicks in now and again.
Yeah.
When you were a doctor, did you have to give a lot of patients, like, dietary advice? It's a food podcast.
Oh, I see.
We've jumped from genies into the food quicker than normal, I'd say.
Yeah, but it's a long time ago, and that would probably be more sort of pertinent for sort of stoma care, something like that.
It's the earliest.
Doesn't tend to get most people's juices flowing.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
This crowd might like to hear things you've told people not to eat.
What happens now?
Did you ever have someone come to you who ate so many carrots they turned orange? That happens.
I haven't had that. No, but is that a real thing? I mean, I think it's sort of technically, it might be a real thing. I haven't.
I think so.
I think they'd be turned away at the door, wouldn't they? If they...
What, of the hospital?
I think so.
If an orange man came to...
No, not if an orange man. An orange man is more than welcome. They see orange people all the time, right? They turn a penny.
Okay, but so if an orange man...
It's very rarely because of carrots.
So at what point are you turning this person away, then?
Well, if they're carrying a wheelbarrow full of half-eaten carrots.
See, it's your imagination that's added that bit.
Okay. But I think that would be a reasonable move in the triage. Depends how busy it is, if there have been any major disasters.
As a rule, if the person shows up with a wheelbarrow full of the things that have caused them their illness...
Yeah.
Would they get turned away?
Well, it depends. Not if it's, you know, shrapnel, something like that. It's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
I haven't done this for a long time, do you know what I mean? But, that's what I seem to recall. Yeah.
You've not been a doctor since the time of shrapnel injuries,
shrapnel
have you?
It was very much a wheelbarrow-based car park in those days, yeah. If you were well enough to operate the barrow, you were sent home immediately.
Yeah.
That was rule number one.
That was the big test.
Yeah.
Would you call yourself a foodie, Mike? Are you a foodie?
I'd like to think of myself as a foodie, but I don't know what qualifies me to say that. I mean, for example, I'm not a very good cook. I don't eat out very much.
So what are you eating, Mike?
Get through a lot of cereal.
I know you like cereal bars.
Yeah, or in any form.
Oh, yeah.
Bars, spheres, bowls. Yeah. No, I'll take it however it comes.
When we were writing on the sitcom Man Down together, thank you, that represents the listener figures.
Alex and no one else. Yeah.
Did quite well, actually. When we were writing Man Down at Greg Davis's flat, because it was a very professional operation, once you turned up really hungover, but you didn't want Greg to know. And the way you tried to keep it secret is you ate 5 cereal bars in a row. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of the day, you walked around the flat, and every time Greg turned around, you went, "Huh, I feel so weird."
And I think I got away with it. The life hack there.
What's the life hack? Eat 5 cereal bars
and
you feel
3
weird.
Cheese to the wind the night before a big day at work, you know.
Yeah.
5's the number.
What was your go-to cereal bar at the time?
I mixed it up. That's absolutely pivotal, guys. Okay?
Yeah.
You got to mix it up. I think there was just a sort of jumble of whatever I'd sort of got free from various, you know, backstage areas over the preceding few months, sort of dug out of a sort of kind of, you know, sort of soggy hole at the bottom of a backpack, basically.
What we're talking, is there a trek in there?
There might have been. I think there was, I mean, there probably would have been a naked bar.
I remember you used to love naked bars. And I really got into them at the same time and wanted to talk about them. And
then they discontinued the Banana Crunch. That was the apex. Yeah.
Literally, the next words out of my mouth were going to be, they discontinued the Banana Crunch. Because it hit us both really hard.
Yeah. It's hard to find a platform to talk about that publicly.
Welcome, apparently, to the London Palladium.
We're sitting directly above the ashes of Bruce Forsyth.
Yes. Did you guys know this? Because we told the audience last night and they were shocked. The ashes of Bruce Forsyth are underneath this stage.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to know what's going on.
So there's a smaller urn next to him that contains the ashes of the Banana Crunch bar.
The showbiz staple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correction, it did contain it. Unfortunately, you two have been down there and snaffled up the ashes. Right?
Snorted it between us. Hoovered it up.
I want to know about Mike's cooking quickly.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
You say you're not a very good cook.
I'm not. Why? I do cook quite regularly. I've got lots of very, very good cooks in my sort of family.
Yeah.
So I've been spoiled. So there's a family at home. There's people to feed. So I do cook. But if I cook, it will be like I will cook a piece of meat until it is definitely safe to eat. Right? And there will be some vegetables that are not cooked enough so that the nutritional value has been lost. So there'll be like, you know, broccoli and carrots that are bloody hard work to get through. with a bit of sort of, you know, sort of charred bit of fish or lamb or something like that.
So you're a fun dad, is what you're...
A fun dad.
Yeah.
All the way.
Is that your speciality? Is that your special dish? If you've got people coming over and it's your job to cook, are you doing the charred meat and hard veg?
Charred meat, hard veg. I can manage a tuna pasta bake, a spag bol. I've never moved past the sort of student meals.
Yeah.
But I mean, for example, when I left home, the first time I can remember going back from sort of, this is sort of in Tooting, I was walking home. Why not?
Some fans of not the first time people have been amused by you and Tooting, is it?
Lovely. Lovely.
Providence. And I was just walking home, to our little halls of residence and just realised that I was hungry and kind of had this thought. I remember having this thought of, I am hungry. Mm. What normally happens now? And realised I had to prepare myself a meal and went into Deepak's Minimark and I realised there was nothing stopping me from just buying a jumbo pack of bacon and just cooking that and having that for tea.
Pack of bacon.
Pack of bacon.
So is that your answer to what's your speciality?
Yeah. Pack a block of bacon. Sometimes separated, sometimes just... sometimes it's nice when it's pink in the middle, isn't it? Yeah. It's different ways of serving it, you know.
In a wheelbarrow?
In a wheelbarrow. You know, it's a foodie crowd, you get it.
So you've convinced you mentioned like cooking for your family and doing the vegetables. One of the things that like I found most impressive, like anywhere in life in the world that I've seen ever, was that you managed to convince your children somehow that carrots and vegetables were a delicious treat.
Yeah,
yeah. Your kids are orange now, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I remember your wife and I picked your children up from school once. I don't know where you were.
Or wherever I was, I might have needed some cereal bars afterwards.
Well, this is a funny old situation, you and Mike's wife picking up their children from school.
Yeah, I was just hanging out and...
Did you know about this, Mike?
My wife's very gregarious, she's very sociable. She likes a bit of company, do you know what I mean? I wasn't about. I thought, I bet James is doing NAFL. Send him down.
He was right.
Send him down to Exeter to walk with my wife and pick my kids up.
Did you have to dress as Mike to make his children feel comfortable?
Yes, I had to put a little moustache on. How was your day?
They don't know. They can't tell.
They can't tell.
No.
I remember walking back home, and there was a little, there was like a van that sold fruit and veg that was parked up, like an ice cream van.
Yeah, but directly outside the school gates.
Yeah, it was right near there. It had loads of fruit and veg. It
sounds like a really bad paedophile. Well, just completely got the wrong end of the stick. My kids love carrots, I think.
You'd think.
My kids do. As soon as they saw the veg van, they turned to Mike's wife and went, "Mummy, please, can we have a lovely juicy carrot? Please, Mummy." Like, really begging.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went, "Okay. Thank you so much." And they were going home eating them, like, "Oh, how's your," and asking each other, "How's your carrot? Well, so delicious. Thank you for letting us have it."
You cannot achieve that without years of neglect. You really can't. It's a long game. It's only really possible in the Southwest as well.
Just keep them isolated from all advertising and other children.
Yeah. They've never heard of a Viennese. No way. It's not happening.
Well, we always start with still a spark and water, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
I do. Is this it? Are we in?
Yeah, well, unless you want that to be a forewarning and we can talk about other stuff for a bit and come back to it.
No, I couldn't tell. I do have a preference. I'd always go sparkling.
Always.
If it's going out at a restaurant, I mean, I don't get out much at all. This for me is enormous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting a bit of an airing. And it's lovely. So it's a bit of a... It's a treat anyway. But we're magical, right? We're in the magical genie. So can I upgrade sparkling to sort of fizzy lifting water?
are we going like from Challenge Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, please.
Fizzy lifting water.
Because presumably I'm on my own in the restaurant, as I've always imagined. Just no
whatever you want.
Is that right?
If you want that, if you want to be alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So why does the fizzy lifting water directly tie into the fact you're alone? Because you don't want anyone else to experience the fizzy lifting water.
Well, two reasons. One, there's like, I've got a bit of time to kill before, you know, the food comes, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got a bit of time to kill, why not kill it flying? And secondly, there's obviously the indignity of how you descend with the fizzy lifting drink. And yeah. I'd rather that was in private. Yes.
And we all know what happens when
exactly.
when you do things like that. Yeah.
It's a mess. Yeah.
But they burp, don't they?
Yeah, they burp.
They burp in the movie. They burp. In the book, I think an Oompa Loompa dies during the testing process. Is that correct? Do people remember that? I'm pretty sure an Oompa Loompa is accidentally. They haven't got the dose right, and they accidentally fire an Oompa Loompa into space.
I don't know why all these wokies have edited Roald Dahl. Kids would love that stuff.
Wow.
Is that right? I may have misremembered that.
So it goes up into space and it dies.
I think he's presumed dead. They don't cover the death. Yeah. He's launched. He passes through outer orbit. And then after that, your chances are slim.
I mean, Wonka's a rich guy, isn't he? He's not going to spend any money on trying to get
that. He's got a lot of overheads, doesn't he, though? That's the thing. It stacks up.
Yeah. And
he always gave the impression that the Oompa Loompas were willing, but that's... I'd quite like to see the Oompa Loompas' sort of perspective on that situation.
Do you think it'll be fun flying for the first time completely alone? Do you think it might be more fun to fly with other people?
That's
Your
a tricky one.
Wife and children?
Yeah.
Because Charlie Bucket's with his grandpa, isn't he?
The problem is I'm quite sort of risk averse generally in life, so I think if I was with my wife and children, I'd be worried about one of them sort of going off into an sort of electricity pylon or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Or sort of finding their way into the wrong end of a Chinook, and I kind of. I think for go one, I'd at least go solo. Yeah. I mean, I trust my wife. I mean, she's up to her. She's, you know, that's fine. Do you know what I mean? But
it's nice to flesh out what's in your dream restaurant as well, Mike. We've got electricity pylons and a Chinook flying overhead.
Yeah. I very much imagined it on the sort of Wiltshire sort of armaments testing grounds. Yeah. Please. But revolving, right? It is revolving. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
Great.
You wouldn't want your grandfather to fly with you.
What's that?
Well, Charlie Bucket has his grandfather.
All right, my grandfather.
Well,
he's long dead, my friend.
Yeah, but.
But this is the dream restaurant, Mike.
The dream restaurant. We can bring him back to life.
I know, but it's not the necromancer's restaurant, is it?
Can be.
I'm quite happy. I mean, I miss him, but I'm happy to let bygones be bygones. Yeah.
That would be awful if you brought your granddad back to life and then he went immediately into the blades of a Chinook. It's so great to see you. Go, grandfather!
Happens twice as well, right? It's two road blades. You get coarse mincing and then a fine mincing immediately afterwards. There's no
grandpa Tartar.
Flung into the.
Yeah.
Pop-nubs or bread? Pop-nubs or bread, Mike Wozniak? Pop-nubs or bread?
Poppadom, please. But I've got a sort of request / stipulation, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So there was a lad at my school. I grew up in Portsmouth. Can I name names?
Can you name names?
Do you need to beep it out?
It's up to you.
I mean, I've lost touch with him, but...
We can't bleep it out live.
No?
Yeah. In the recording, when this goes out...
No?
We can bleep it
not
out.
Not even with three of us.
All of these people.
Do you want me to try and bleep it for you?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
So there's this guy called Ben.
Beep!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, I can relax now. And I think it was him, but I may have got that wrong. My memory is terrible. But I think it was him because he lived in Gosport and he. His family were big in the curry scene in Gosport.
How were they big in the curry scene?
Well, they ate quite a lot of curry. Yeah. We're talking three times a month, something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And so he knew the scene. Do you know where I mean? Gosport is just across the water from Portsmouth. Yeah. So that kind of Portsmouth's naughty little cousin.
My grandparents used to live in Hill Head.
There we go.
There you go.
Another place.
Yes. It's quite nearby.
Yeah. But he told me that there was a restaurant, a curry house in Gosport, where they... I can't remember what... It was called something like... They served what... I think it was called something like the Maximum Poppadom.
Okay.
You wouldn't just go, oh, can we have, how many poppadoms should we have, blah, 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 oh, should we get four, should we get six, all that kind of discussion. They completely nixed that argument by the table you were sat at. They're all round tables, table of four, appropriate size, two little sort of round table, you know, eight big round table. The poppadom that would arrive if you ordered the maximum poppadom would be the size of the table.
Whatever size table you were on.
Yeah, yeah, but they'd sit you appropriately was the idea. So if it's a table of four, you know, that sort of size or what have you. And that would arrive. And I hunted for this place high and low. I never found it.
Oh, really?
And it's only since you asked me on this that I've been reminded of that. And I've got a tiny, niggling suspicion that it might have been bollocks.
It's the perfect lie.
How old was... What was his name?
We would have been, his name was Ben...
Beep!
Yeah. How old was he?
We would have been sort of 14, something like that, 13.
Well, that's a bit old to be lying about the poppadom, isn't it? But not outside the realms of...
Well, they're big curry people, though. Like I say, big curry family.
Big in the curry scene.
But how do you know he's big in the curry scene? Because he might have been lying about that as well, right?
Maybe he didn't have three curries a month. I mean, that is crazy.
His whole life could have been a tissue of lies, Mike.
This could be. He could have Kaiser Soze'd me, it's true.
Yeah.
I did buy the thing that they were big in curry, because I went around his house at least twice, and at least once they did order in curry.
But they weren't ordering in the maximum poppadom, were they?
It wasn't a takeaway option. That would be crazy.
on the top of the car.
Yeah. That's never going to make it.
Yeah. It's going to fly off.
But I figure, seeing as we're in a sort of genie staffed restaurant, perhaps we could go.
I mean, behind you is kind of like, I mean, that's the beyond maximum poppadom.
Oh, yeah, that's catering sized, isn't it? That one.
That's where I'm from.
It's the spirit of Brucey, man. This is. So you would like the maximum poppadom?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Do you want maximum chutneys with it as well?
Oh, yes, please. But I don't know where they go because the table's full.
Yeah. Do you put them on? You could put them on the maximum poppadom, dots of different chutneys around the maximum poppadom, and then snap them off and work your way in.
Like in Jira bed.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. Or maybe some sort of nozzles.
Like a hamster?
Yeah. So nozzles, series of hose pipes.
It's coming down from the ceiling.
Yeah, or threaded through the pylons. I don't really mind how they get it there.
Is the Chinook dropping them in?
Yeah, or maybe they could be mortared. You could mortar a mango chutney onto the... That might be quite fun.
Yeah.
Stinger a lime pickle into my gob.
So what speed are these chutneys coming in?
Mach 3. They're hard to break the maximum, so you want a bit of force to smash up the poppadom a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, that sounds nice. And you got the maximum poppadom all to yourself?
Please.
So it's just you. Okay. Your dream starter, Mike?
This is quite tricky. I thought about this. Could I have the, It's sort of an invention in a way. I'm calling it the goo duck anoufle.
What?
Huh? The goo duck anoufle.
Goo duck anoufle.
Surprise.
I'm going to say this.
Goo duckin. So you'd start. Yes. I mean, your jumping off point is your tadukken. Yeah, which you're familiar with.
Okay. Yes. The tadukken we know about.
Yeah.
Ducking a chicken and a turkey.
Right. The sort of stuffing thing, which I've never tried, but I don't like turkey. For me, I can't.
You're joking.
I can't eat turkey outside of Christmas. Otherwise, I feel like I'm breaking a treaty. So I would replace the turkey with a goose.
Okay. So it's a,
which I think is an established thing.
Good. Yeah. So this is where goo duckin. So
there's the goo duckin bit.
Yes.
And then it's kind of. So yeah, the chicken and then the duck and the goose.
Yeah.
And in that process, I mean, I'd probably want some assurances from the genie waiter that sort of stuffing process was post-mortem. Please.
What if...
For all of them, you want them all?
Oh, yeah.
But what if it happened naturally and we found them like that?
I think that raises more questions than it answers... Really? So that happens, and then within the initial the sort of vanguard chicken, the surprise. I'd like a toy in it, please.
A toy, like a Kinder surprise.
Please.
I thought you said a toilet for a
second. Not a toilet.
Well, I'm on my own. Do you know what I mean?
You say the chicken's the vanguard.
Yeah.
Does the chicken go in the duck, or does the duck go in the chicken?
Chicken goes in the duck.
The duck's what? Smaller than the chicken.
Yes, is it, Mike? Not? Have you seen the chicken and the duck? It's just not.
No, but it goes turducken, doesn't it, or goo duckin? So I don't think it's about size so much as will, really.
Yeah. So you're saying they came up with a word first? And then they just had to force a chicken into a duck.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Can't call it the chick duck.
Doesn't work. And then the oufle bit, the goo duck and oufle.
Goo duck and oufle.
I'd like you to souffle it, please.
Okay.
So a chicken in a duck in a goose, you would like a Kinder surprise
something,
toy.
Yeah. Could be a little toy, a little puzzle, anything really, I don't mind.
Like a cracker.
Yeah, a tiny little Phillips screwdriver would be fine.
Is that your favourite cracker gift?
Well, you get a lot of use out of it, don't you? And
Personally.
No?
The little screwdrivers.
I use the tiny screwdriver all the time.
Well, I'm going to love imagining that.
Yeah.
Thing is, if I was you, I would decide... I know it's meant to be a surprise.
Yeah.
But if I was you, I wouldn't leave it up to us, because... We're already disappointed that we didn't get to use our necromancing earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And so...
Are you suggesting the surprise in the chicken is going to be Mike's granddad?
Miniaturised, mummified?
Not miniaturised, it's more about Will than it is.
That's okay. I think Stanislav had the kind of grit where he'd be up for that challenge, yeah.
And you want it souffléed on the outside like a baked Alaska?
No, I just want it to be, the whole thing to be sort of magically souffléed.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not completely sure, but I... No. I like the texture of a soufflé, but I want to sort of... I don't want to spoil my appetite. I've already eaten a table-sized poppadom. And I'm looking forward to sort of big main course, so I think I'd like to...
Yeah, I forgot this is your starter.
Yeah. So I quite like it to be sort of made sort of bubbly and light and get the sort of, the taste and the experience.
You still get the layers.
Yeah.
It's like a layered souffle.
Yeah.
But it's goose, chicken, no, goose, duck, chicken.
Please.
All the way down.
Toy.
Yeah, a toy.
Non-souffle toy.
A toy at the bottom of a souffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I can absolutely make that happen
for
you.
Yeah, great.
Good duck.
Yeah.
Good duck and flay.
I thought so.
Are you eating the whole thing?
Yeah, because I don't know. If I'm assuming in the magical souffling process, it's going to reduce to a degree, isn't it?
Oh, that's interesting. So
I'm imagining a souffle the size of a carpenter's fist. That sort of size. Yeah. Decent hand.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy clump.
Yeah.
Have you ever, when you were a doctor, did you have to study a carpenter's fist at any point?
I mean, they very rarely come in, those guys. Hale and hearty. Mm. Just the old nick and callus, that's it. So it's the platonic ideal of a fist, really.
Not a phrase I thought we'd heard to hear tonight. Platonic ideal of a fist.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot... We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course, Mike?
This is quite tricky.
Oh, I bet it is.
But it does need some genie help.
Oh, yeah?
Be nice for you to finally use the genie in this meal, Mike.
Well, I've got a backup dish. If required, there's a backup dish.
Great.
But the main dish is I want what they're having, please. What I mean by that is when I do, I don't go out to restaurants very often, and I do have a nice old time, and I try and be a good boy, and I try and be...
You try and be a good boy?
I try and be a good, brave boy, and I try and, you know... It's important to try new things, yes? Know? So, if there's something I don't know what it is, I'll normally give it a go, that kind of stuff. And I'll make the order, and I think, great, okay, we'll have a little experiment, see what that is, and, we'll just... I'm quite happy to buy a pig in a poke, basically. When it comes to a restaurant.
What?
I'm quite happy to buy a pig in a poke.
A pig in a poke?
A pig in a poke.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll order.
Hang on.
Well, I just assume it's a phrase.
Well, yeah, but... What?
It's a well-established phrase, no?
Thank you. Well, that's five people in 2,000. Yeah.
Like, buying a pig in a poke... Like,
just repeat the phrase by all means, Mike.
So normally you don't want to buy a pig in a poke. It's how it would normally be used.
Mike, we do not know what a pig in a poke is. what is a pig in a poke?
Well, the pig is standard pig. Pig is the pig.
Got it.
Not your cat.
No, who's called pig?
Who's called pig? Yeah. But a pig.
Yes.
And a poke, I think, was like a sort of bag or something. So it'd be the idea of buying a pig. So
in a bag.
In ye olden times.
Yeah.
I see.
It must have been a problem at some stage. Where pigmongers were going around the place.
Yeah.
Door to door and saying, do you want to buy a pig? Yeah, I'm interested in a pig. How much for the pig? Fiver. Here you go. It's in this poke. And then they'd give you the poke, which had some weight to it, and you'd get in and you'd open up your poke thinking, oh, great, we've got a pig now, that's great news. And there'd just be,
Rocks.
Rocks. There'd be rocks, there'd be some wet straw.
A third example, please.
A broken pallet of cereal bars. but then there would be no pig. And the pig salesman would be long gone.
So the advice would be don't buy a pig in a poke.
It's a cautionary tale. It would have been a cautionary tale and another cautionary tale that eventually became, an idiom.
But you're using the idiom to say you do want to buy a pig in a poke.
I am eschewing that advice, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're comparing this to being in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And while you're in a restaurant, you will buy a pig in a poke.
Yeah.
So you will order something knowing that it is not what it says it is on the menu. And then it's a plate of wet straw.
I'm willing to take that risk, yes. And I would also take the risk of if there was a main course where it was just, mystery poke,
It's pronounced, Mike, it's pronounced poke.
Okay. Okay. Mystery bag of food. Then I'd probably go, I'll go for the mystery bag of food, please.
So you're just... Yeah, okay. I get it now. You mean you'll just roll the dice...
I want to be surprised. I wish to be surprised normally.
But you don't want to be tricked by the pigmonger.
No, I mean, in day-to-day life, no. But, I mean, I'm willing to take the risk in a restaurant setting that I'm not going to be presented with a plate of wet straw.
So... But the first thing you said was your main course is you'll have what they're having.
Yes.
Even though you did specify at the beginning that you will be alone for this meal.
That's true. But what they had...
I want their had. You want what their had.
I want what their had. Because inevitably, when I do order the thing, whatever the thing may be, enough time has passed that you can't change. But then almost every time I go to a restaurant, 5 minutes after the time has passed to change your order, the kitchen doors are booted open. Right, all of the staff have been corralled to deliver this dish to another table, and there are flames gushing from everywhere, steam, smoke, sirens, everyone's ooing, and someone breaks out into the national anthem. It's that level of, the fuss. You know, the sort of burning griddle pans, people with special gloves, all this kind of stuff is happening. Trolleys, things are on wheels, things are coming down from the ceiling. Space, like, tables being kicked over to make enough space for this extraordinary dish, and everyone's applauding, and that's, I mean, I want that. What's that?
Yeah.
Please. I've never had that. I've never succeeded. Never read on the menu that there's no clue on the menu that this
usually,
that there will be a fanfare. You know.
Usually for heaters.
I think that's normally a safe bet if you want that sort of thing, Mike.
Some fajitas in a poke.
Or a birthday cake.
Okay. So maybe it's fajitas then.
Yeah. You want one there, Had. We know that.
I want that, yeah. Fajitas, I mean, it's possible. Uncle Phil does a good fajitas. So a little Uncle shout out to Uncle Phil there.
From Fresh Prince. You and Cousin Carlton enjoy those?
You've got quite... When you danced on, you had real Carlton energy, actually.
Yeah, you could, yeah.
That's a shame.
Well, come on, Mike. You didn't think you were Will, did you?
No. We all like to think a little, you know, that we've got a bit of Will in us, don't we?
He didn't walk on and slap us.
different Uncle Phil.
Different Uncle Phil.
Doesn't mean visa. But yeah, I mean, if you know what that is, if it's not Vitas, if it's more interesting, I mean, the fullback. I mean, I'd be quite happy to just have a Lancashire hot pot with a sparkler in it.
You know? But you want that presentation. You want that
presentation. Yeah, and again, it's not. I don't want this sort of. I mean, I don't have to have the reaction.
Yeah.
Because I'm on my own. That's fine. I'm not trying to sort of draw attention. I just want to experience that. My God, here it comes moment. I want there to be the genuine jeopardy that I could burn myself to the point where I'm unrecognisable just from the delivery of the dish, just from judging it wrong, just from trying to clear that mustard pot out of the way to be helpful and just being sort of seared, stuck to the side of a four-foot griddle pan, you know, becoming part of the dish. Do you know what I mean? I want that chance, you know, for someone to have a, you know... scrape off a crispy mic skin and tell me what it was like.
It's definitely fajitas that you're talking about.
Is it fajitas?
Yeah.
It's fajitas.
100% can't be anybody else at this point.
Uncle Phil's fajitas then, please.
Where's Uncle Phil's?
What's that?
Where's Uncle Phil's?
What is Uncle Phil's? That's quite
hard
to answer.
You know where Uncle Phil lives, Ed.
Hang on, is it a restaurant or is it your Uncle Phil?
Neither. But it is a man. It's my brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law. And yeah. You call your brother-in-law Uncle Phil?
Been known to. Sometimes we squish that into Funkle for a bit of fun.
That is fun.
And he is a fun guy.
So when Funkle does his fajitas, is there the fanfare? Does he bring them out on the sizzling platter?
There will be sizzle. I don't know. It's not the level of sizzle and flames and all that stuff that I'm after. He will be more likely to compensate with the visual fanfare with some choice swearing.
It's a fun thing.
So it's an event. It's definitely an event.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not. Yeah, it's not kicking through the swing doors, kind of.
I get what you mean. You're anticipating it. When Funkle brings it out, you know that they're coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing fajitas tonight.
Yeah.
Here they are. Fuck, cunt, whatever he's saying.
Yeah.
And then, but when you're in the... Sorry, yeah. It's really...
He gave it a go. It might work for the guys up there, maybe, if it's sort of... Depending on the sound trajectory. Yeah.
But you want to be in... Not expecting it. You're in a restaurant. You hear it.
Yeah.
And then you see it and you get jealous.
Yeah.
Do you want the Chinook pilot to be looking over and being like, what's he got?
I want the Chinook pilot to be on standby because he needs to be... The whole Chinook crew, they need to be carrying a sort of, you know, an 18,000-litre vat of water over the top of the restaurant in case of a catastrophe.
In case you get stuck to the griddle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you do get stuck to the griddle...
Yeah.
Are you going to carry on with the rest of the meal?
Because you seem quite excited by the notion of, I believe your phrase was becoming part of the dish.
Yeah. I'd carry on absolutely regardless.
If you became part of the dish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 And you said you had a backup dish. I'm very happy with it.
Lancashire hot pot with the sparkler in it.
Please.
Is that the back? That's the backup.
That's the backup dish. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, a couple of sparklers. Get some offal going.
Position a sparkler in a Lancashire
good question.
Hot pot. Is it fairly solid? In my mind, it's not.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think the potato layer is going to handle that. And you've got beneath the potato layer, you've got hopefully a very very dense, thick collection of lamb's kidneys, other bits of lamb, miscellaneous lamb,
yeah,
with an adhesive gravy, and I think it's going to plant very nicely in that. I think you could even put a few in, and some of them could even be askance, and you'd be okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Some of them could be
because there's so much offal in there.
Yeah,
the chances of a sparkler going through and not hitting a bit of offal before it hits the bottom are slim, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think a kidney would be quite a good little anchor for the
good ballast.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The thing is with the sparklers, once they've gone out,
yeah,
you still can't approach it, can you?
What?
Well, you shouldn't go back.
Then I'll request maybe the genie brings the Lancashire hot pot with sparklers and, as well as knife and fork, can I have some sort of gauntlet, please?
Yes.
To remove the yeah.
What do you mean, James?
Well, you should never go back to a sparkler once it's been lit.
I believe the phrase is "don't go back to a lit firework," and I. I don't think sparklers count.
Yeah.
No, you should never go back to them.
In Kettering, all the recreational grounds are just covered in layer upon layer of abandoned sparklers. It's all metal parks now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't go in.
Yeah.
We'll never go back to the lit sparklers.
Yeah.
How do you hold it? Aren't you supposed to light a sparkler and then hold it? Are you just lighting the sparkler and then immediately throwing it away?
Yeah, that's when it becomes dangerous. It's all fine. Then someone lights it and then you just got to let go and run. And never go back to it.
Yeah.
I like the fajitas choice, Mike.
Okay.
This
lovely
is
choice.
Is what it turned out to be. But are there other things? I mean, is that there's nothing else you recognise as that? Because you eat out a lot, don't you, you two? Is there?
Nothing that I recognise from your exact description.
No?
Maybe like a dish where, like in a fancy restaurant, they might bring it and there's a cloche.
Oh, yeah.
There's a cloche or a glass dome or something like that.
Yeah.
And they'll... Together, all of the waiters will do this, and then they'll whip the cloche off, and there's smoke billows.
Oh, so it's like backdraft, is it?
It's backdraft.
It sucks in the oxygen and then explodes.
They'll normally pipe in smoke, but in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Some sort of like woody smoke.
Okay.
And then they'll lift it up, and the smoke dissipates and makes absolutely no difference to the flavour of the dish.
Okay.
You know what I enjoyed just then, Mike?
Yeah.
Was watching you listen to Ed describe something that is actually real, as if what Ed was saying was fucking bonkers.
Yeah. So are you saying that is real?
That's a real
thing. Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Why?
Well, for that theatre that you're talking about, that you enjoy. That's what you wanted, wasn't it? That sort of thing.
I don't know. That seems a bit sneaky to me.
What's sneaky about that?
Well, because I don't think I want to be delivered a cloche of smoke.
There's other food in there. They're not going like, enjoy your dinner. Fuck you, it's just smoke.
Okay.
There's food in there.
Okay, fine.
And the smoke's been piped in and it's just like a magical way of presenting it.
Okay, fair.
So the smoke can affect the flavour sometimes?
The smoke can affect the flavour sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
It's normally just for showmanship.
Okay.
It would be bad if I agree.
I think I want the journey. I think I want to see them coming.
Yeah.
That feels like an ambush.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I want to see the whites of their eyes. I don't know. It's not the right phrase. But, yeah.
It's quite a sort of military meal generally so far, isn't it?
It's turning out that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm worried that the Chinook person... when someone suddenly bursts out the kitchen and is basically attacking you, some old training might kick in.
It's a risk, isn't it? But then you even thought I was being attacked, I was actually just being served some fajitas and... very badly damaged Chinook pilot attacked one of the waiters. it's a bit of chat fuel, isn't it?
That's good chat fuel.
R.I.P. Uncle Phil.
R.I.P. Uncle Phil.
Your dream side dish, Mike?
Alpha Bites, please.
A lot of fans of Alpha Bites in.
Never allowed them.
To this day?
Well, still never quite dared to pick them out of the old freezer. It was deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
Taboo. I think this is tonight's the night.
So I've never had Alpha Bites either, but I have a request. Are these, are they potato?
Yeah. Basically chips, yeah, alphabet shaped.
I've never had chips. Them either.
Have you not?
No.
Who's had Alpha Bites?
They're not as good as chips. They're shit. Pretty adamant.
Didn't think it was that sort of gig, but...
Our listeners get pretty rowdy, Mike.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Alpha Bites.
It turns out, yeah. I do apologise. But I'm going to stick to my guns.
Would you spell some things out with the Alpha Bites before you ate them? Would you have fun with them, or would you...
I think there's great fun to be had, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What sort of things would you spell?
Yeah.
Or maybe some rude words.
Yeah.
Go on. Or do you want to spell it out one letter at a time so we can visualise it on the plate?
Or do you want to beep it out?
Letter by letter?
Like, bum, beep. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's options.
Would you start with bum, would you?
Start with bum and work my way up.
Every so often, Mike, I remember that you're having this meal alone. Bum. Looking around. Dead
looking
waiter on the floor.
From
the...
With his one good eye, yeah. The rest of his... Bum.
Chinook helicopter pilot having a panic attack in the corner. Are you dipping it in anything, the Alpha Bites?
Oh, yeah, they're very much the... well, it depends what the dish is. Like, if it's back-up Lancashire hot pot, then I'll be dipping it in the old sort of gravy.
Yeah.
Big time. If it's the... is it fajitas?
Fajitas was the other choice. I think Uncle Phil's fajitas, but...
It's what they're having.
Yeah. That's what they're having.
I'd probably risk popping the letter C in a bit of quack. See what happens.
Is that the best to dip with, do you reckon, the letter C?
I think so, because you get a good hook with it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think in the Alpha Bites, because none of us have had them, do you think they include the letter L, or is that just too similar to a chip?
A lowercase L.
Yeah.
Lowercase L. These are capitals. Are you mad? These are capitals.
I've never had them.
Well, how in the name of God are they going to do a lowercase I?
Well, they just chuck it all in.
No, madness. Madness.
Well, he got you, man. Yeah. You've been murked.
I'm happy to learn.
Yeah. You just got murked by Wozniak at the Palladium, mate.
I got burned by the most burned man we've ever had on the podcast.
Well, I guess same question with a capital I, right?
Yeah.
Is that just look like a normal chip? Or are they putting those bits at the top and bottom?
Oh, yeah, putting the bits on.
Fucking do him, Mike. He thought it was just going to be a straight eye. Fucking have him.
No. I'm trying to help you.
It's going
to
be like that, isn't it? Fucking idiot. Look at this cunt. Sort of... Beep.
He's just going into some bad fonts. Do you know what I mean? That's all that's... It's not his fault. Wrong crowd, wrong fonts.
Yeah.
He didn't know any better.
So it doesn't bother you that they're shit, apparently?
No, I don't mind eating shit from time to time. I think there's sometimes sort of great comfort from eating total crap. And I think in a way I'd be... The fact that they've been sort of... for want of a better term, a lust object. There are better terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we can definitely find better terms.
The letter O is feeling nervous right about now.
Yeah.
It's more a matter of will, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he will.
I think if there's something fundamentally wrong with them. I think that feels, it'll feel like it's a vice. It'll feel all the more exciting if they're a bit of work. If they need a lot of sour cream or guac or if I've got to reactivate the nozzles from earlier on and if I'm firing everything at it, then I'll be like, okay, Mum, you were right, but.
Are you going to rub it in your parents' faces that you're eating them? Are you going to be like...
No, they've got enough on their plate. I mean, they worry enough. Do you know what I mean?
Where do you stand on potato smileys? Because they're essentially the same thing, I guess, right?
Yes. For reasons that aren't clear to me, I realise now, they didn't cross the line of the sort of forbidden potato product line.
So you used to have potato smileys?
Rarely, but it did come up.
So your parents,
so I'm
if
wondering,
anything,
I'm wondering why, yeah, why they were allowed, whereas the letters were.
Well, they're less time consuming.
Obscene.
The letters, you're going to get distracted. You can start spelling words, doing stuff.
Yeah.
The smiley faces. Once you've seen one, that's it, isn't it?
Surely parents should be encouraging literacy, shouldn't they?
That's true. So. I can't really think what the scenario would be. I mean, if there was a necromancy-based restaurant, yes, then you don't want people able to conjure certain like letters, and you don't want to be able to Ouija board your side plate, do you?
A potato smiley Ouija board.
Yeah, but that wasn't happening. So I don't know. I don't know what the explanation is. But yeah, but I'm on Todd, so I think I'll go for the letters. Bit more diverting.
One of every letter?
No, I think I'm going to want a few spare vowels. Please.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go with just one of, you know, J, X, Y, and so on. Because I think I'm going to want to bananagram it at some point. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to rush the evening. And I'm hoping because it is the genie element, they're not going to go cold.
No.
You can serve them on a hot plate at the very least, can't you?
Another hot plate?
Well, yeah, you've got previous. Yeah. I mean, do you want me to sit this course out and Rachel Riley can serve these to you? You can ask for consonants and vowels to your heart's content.
I'll stick with the genie.
You want Riley?
Also, come
this.
On, man. Vorderman, every time.
Sorry. Of course, Vorderman.
Getting Vorderman in for this.
Yeah, OK. All right. We'll Vorderman it. Well, the option of Vorderman, if I'm feeling tasty, if I'm on good form with the letters, then we can conjure Vorderman to, you know, throw down the gauntlet. But otherwise, yeah, I think I'll just carry on just playing with the hot, salty fat.
Your dream drink, Mike?
That's tricky. Well, it depends. This depends again.
Yeah.
What did we settle on? We went on the griddle. If it was the backup Lancashire hot pot, I'd go for a pint of Old Thumper. No? They're not allowed.
I'm not shaking my head because you can't have it. I'm shaking my head because I've never heard of a pint of Old Thumper before.
And it sounds like the sort of thing you would make up.
We're now in a world where we accept these things.
Yeah.
At the start of the gig, I was questioning stuff like pig in a poke.
Yeah.
And now I'm just accepting that a pint of Old Thumper is a thing.
Okay. Ringwood Breweries.
Yes.
I think it was the first kind of pint of bitter that I had, really, in the little pub we used to go to where, in that era when you're trying to get sort of served and all that kind of stuff, people were going for ales because they thought it seemed more convincing that they were older. Yeah. That thing, yeah?
Yeah.
They wanted the ice-cold lager, but they're like, I'll have a pint of the Old Thumper because they thought that was credible, therefore that they were 52 years old and didn't need to be ID'd.
Wearing a cardigan, going in.
Yeah. On the few occasions we were served, everyone else would be like, bah, 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 trying to get through it.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, I think this is delicious. And I think even as a sort of 17-year-old boy, I didn't realise at the time, I realise now I was already inhabited by the spirit of a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
So that's, and it would go very well with the hot pot, if that's happening. I mean, if it's the flambé spectacular... Just give me an ouzo. Please.
Literally chucking fuel on the fire.
Yeah. Taste of holiday, isn't it?
Ouzo?
It is. I guess so. Very specific. Yeah.
I've never had it.
No?
No. I remember the Insane Clown Posse used to drink it.
Did they?
That's all I know about ouzo.
Don't they have their own drink, though, the Insane Clown
Posse? Maybe now, but...
Called Faygo.
What is that?
It's their own. What is it?
Juggalo in the audience saying yes.
What is it?
It's like pure sugary filth.
Pure sugary filth. I think it's a very, very sugary alcoholic drink. It's called Faygo. Do you know the Insane Clown Posse, Mike?
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if you did, to be honest. I can't imagine you and the posse ever crossing paths.
What kind of act are we talking?
Guess. Guess what the Insane Clown Posse is.
I'm going to say neo-folk punk fusion. Electric accordion?
They probably do that, no?
Yeah.
They're a white rap group. but they paint their faces like sort of evil clowns.
Okay.
And all of their fans are called Juggalos, mm-hmm. And they just get quite drunk and violent. They don't drink, as far as I'm aware, ouzo. No?
Well, that's what I knew about them when I was a teenager. I read an interview with the Insane Clown Posse, and they said that they drank ouzo a lot.
Okay.
And then I was quite surprised when I was older and they released a song about how lovely miracles are and how they believe in God.
Yeah, they had a swerve later on in their career.
It does sound like a swerve,
about all
it?
The, it's a rap about all...
But still doing
the
fancy dress rap?
Yeah. But rapping about how amazing all the things in the world are.
You sound like a lovely bunch of boys.
Yeah.
It's a really funny song.
Yeah?
Yeah, they say how they...
Really,
they say they see miracles every day. Yeah. They say
about... It's really good.
And they're like the miracle of a rainbow and stuff. Are those the miracles? You're like, no, they're not.
You know about ouzo? Apparently, ouzo, when you drink it, crystallizes in your stomach. So the next day you drink water and it re-dilutes it and you get drunk again the next day.
Definitely bollocks.
What's the name of the boy who told you that?
Why is that bollocks, Mike?
Because it's just absolutely ironclad bollocks. It's not just going to sit in your... Well, how's it going to do that? Well, you're in a state of constant sloughing.
What?
Beg your pardon, speak for yourself, Mike.
A state of constant sloughing?
Yeah.
Is that another beer?
Boiling away, roiling acids and sloughed linings. Doesn't stand a chance.
Sloughed linings?
Yeah.
Never felt more uncomfortable about my own body ever.
Yeah. Sorry, I could have broken that more gently, couldn't I?
Mm. How was your bedside manner when you were a doctor?
Well, I did have to leave the profession.
Because you kept on bringing up sloughing every time people came in.
Wasn't appropriate.
Yeah.
This is difficult now, because I want you to have the pint of old Thumper.
Yeah.
But that would mean you would have to have the Lancashire hot pot, and I want you to have what they're having.
Well, let's go. Fine. Okay. Well, let's settle. I'll look at it. And I'll have what they're having, and I'll risk sinking it down with a little ouzo, despite the naked flames.
Do you want the Insane Clown Posse to be with you drinking the ouzo?
I'm happy for them to be coming through the speakers. That sounds unfriendly, doesn't it? And you have described... They do sound like a lovely group of boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they... No, I'm being very selfish. Yeah, they can join me for the main course. It's a group. It's a group meal, isn't it, what we're talking about? That amount of smoke... And, you can't eat that on your own.
You can't have fish.
There's
going to
be poppadom left over. Yeah, bring them in. Yeah.
Actually, it would blow their mind, because they love miracles.
Yeah.
If they came in, they see the giant poppadom, they see you fizzy lifting drink flying around the air.
Yeah.
You've somehow got a chicken and a duck.
Yeah, it's all revolving.
They're going to be like, so many miracles.
Yeah. One of them's bound to need a mini screwdriver.
Yeah.
I do feel like you should have a pint of Old Thumper, though, because it was a lovely story. Should we check in a pint of Old Thumper as well?
We arrive at your dream dessert, Mike. It's very exciting. I'm kind of anticipating more genie magic here. Am I right?
Yeah. for pudding, please, because I have... I would like... Well, it goes by many names.
OK.
But some people would call it the piece of shame.
Some people?
Yeah. Some people would call it the decency slice. Are you familiar with this, any of you?
I think
the Germans would call it the Das Anandstück, something like that. Dutch, something very similar.
Yeah, OK.
I think in the Philippines, it's the piece of shame.
It's, piece of shame.
It's the last bit.
We're
of
all
cake.
Very relieved that that's what they call it in the Philippines.
Yeah. It's the last bit of cake or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's the last bit on the table, on the plate, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That everyone wants, but no one. You know, it feels shameful to. Like it has a name. We don't have that here, a name for it. But there are many nations where they have a name for it because it's a thing, because it's so alluring. And I understand that allure.
Yeah.
And because I can be quite buttoned up, unless I've had a bit too much post-crystallised ouzo, I will never go for the piece of shame. And I just want once. I don't mind what it is particularly. It could be any kind of. It will require the genie to take the revolving restaurant somewhere where. I mean, it's a bit intrusive. It does require us to sort of tractor beam out someone's cake from a sort of family occasion, anniversary, wedding, something.
Yeah.
If we could do that discreetly, I don't think that's a job for the Chinook. I think that's one for the genie.
Yeah.
I can do that. I mean, is that so there's the shame in this sense coming from the fact that you've tractor beamed it away from a family. Because obviously, it's not if there's not people around, then there's not the shame of taking that last.
Oh, it needs to be active. It can't be the event still needs to be ongoing.
Yeah.
Right. For the piece of shame to be have its allure, there need to be people almost sort of hovering around, kind of licking their lips.
Do that again.
Sort of like this. Sort of stalking it a little bit. Sort of maybe sort of approaching it and then noticing that, you know, Uncle Dilbert's also sort of stalking it and then. Yeah. Marjorie's also interested, and Kathy's picking off a couple of crumbs here and there. And...
So we're not just like bringing the cake in from another occasion. We're bringing some of the guests as well.
The guests are pivotal. We need to see the guests. I don't want to intrude,
but you need to intrude for this to be the piece of shame, don't you?
Yeah. Okay. So, well. The restaurant, we backtrack a little bit then. So the restaurant is going to need to be in a sort of mobile, translucent orb. If that's all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick and retrofit that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of glass-bottomed. We then need to be able to see through the roof and the ceiling and whichever bedrooms or bathrooms are sort of impeding the view into the kitchen or the dining area.
So you're sort of floating over a village.
This is like...
You're sort of in a glass elevator, really.
Yeah.
So back to Wonka.
Again, yeah.
Also, a bit giant peachy.
Yeah.
Bit giant peachy.
It's very dull. The whole thing's very dull.
And we need to make that... I mean, it'd be ideal to be able to... I don't want to sort of blast a hole through these people's... Like, they've worked hard for that house. Do you know what I mean?
It's important to bear in mind.
And, Getting labourers out to fix it. So we might be waiting for months. They'd be having a sort of bit of tarp over the roof and it's not going to do in this weather.
Do you know what house you're going to, or are you just floating over a village hoping that some people are eating a cake and there's one slice left?
The second one.
Because we could make it easier for you because you're getting tied up in that they've worked hard for the house.
Yeah.
But we could choose, like, a horrible family... Who you won't feel bad about doing this.
But then it's not a piece of shame.
No, exactly. Then it's, you
know, it's not shameful.
What is that?
They have to be good people.
It's not a piece of retribution. Yeah, they've got to be the best people.
Okay.
They've got to be absolute salt of the bloody earth, these guys.
So when we find the house or the church hall or whatever's happening, say wedding, I think the wedding was...
Wedding's quite good. Yeah, I'll go for a bit of wedding cake, sure.
So there's one slice of wedding cake left.
Yeah, although no, because they're going to want to freeze that. No, it can't be wedding cake. Sorry, that's probably the only one that, yeah.
Funeral? Do you?
Funeral cake. What was your funeral cake like? I'm trying to think of that. What was their funeral cake like? Is there a funeral cake?
I don't think so.
It's not a thing, is it?
Maybe wake cake.
Christening?
Wake cake. Christening again is complicated, isn't it?
Do people let's say
Ruby anniversary. You can always find one of them.
Yeah. How many years is that, Ruby?
50?
40.
Even easier.
Even easier, yeah.
What's 50? Silver? Gold?
So you're floating over a Ruby anniversary in a village.
Yeah.
And you can see through the roof of... Yeah. The venue.
And they got married young. I don't want to be taking off a couple of, like, nonagenarians or anything like that.
Yeah, so they're 60, maybe.
Yeah, if that, late 50s, maybe. We might be talking about sort of Gretna Green job here.
Yeah.
But a Gretna Green wedding.
Yeah.
So they eloped to Gretna Green, they got married, and now they're late 50s.
So they're quite fun, these guys.
And it's worked.
They proved everyone wrong.
Yeah.
It's an absolute... It's a triumph.
It's lovely, really. It's a lovely story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
And there's one slice of cake left at the Ruby anniversary.
And I bet, I'm going to say, they are not expecting what's about to happen next.
And the thing is about those two, they plan everything very carefully.
Yeah.
And they feel that they are people that expect the unexpected, but this is coming from the blind spot.
So now I'm just trying to imagine how then you go about this heist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you being teleported from the orb into the event?
No, I'm going to stay in the orb.
Right.
But the orb is going to sort of beam it through the house, first of all, so that we can see what's going on, and then it's going to tractor beam, suck up the...
Yes.
Suck up the last bit of cake. The only person who is going to witness that is the 10-year-old grandson who everyone will think is lying.
Yes.
Thus making it the perfect crime.
But does that make it the piece of shame? If no one else sees you do it, surely the piece of shame...
They don't have to see it. They just want it. They want it. They all want it.
So is the shame all on you? It's all internal shame?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's internal shame cake.
It's internal shame which brings out the acidity of the blueberry. I don't know. Ganache. Apricot, cheese, cake.
Apricot, cheese, cake.
The crunch of the free and the and so on.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. Is there anything else you want to add, Mike, before we read your menu back to you?
No, I think I'm going to be absolutely stuffed after that. Thank you.
Enjoy reading this one back, James?
Yep. There's not an iPad in here.
James had a little problem with the iPad in Glasgow and accidentally loaded up a Lewis Capaldi video on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know how he managed it.
When in Rome?
Yeah. You would like fizzy lift in water?
Please.
You would like the maximum poppadom with maximum chutneys? You would like a goo duckin au flay with a toy? You want what there had?
Yeah. Good duck and oufle surprise, I think, would be quite... Yeah, but I... But you're right, yeah. I beg your pardon.
Apologies. What there had, brackets Uncle Phil's fajitas.
As it turns out,
Back of Lancashire hot pot with a sparkler.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha Bites.
Please.
Ouzo and a pint of Old Thumper. Dessert. The piece of shame.
Thank you.
The off-menu menu of Mac Wozniak!
Thank you. Great.
Once more for the brilliant Mike Wozniak.
Thank you.
Mike Wozniak.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, there we go. The lovely Mike.
Mike was fantastic.
Mike.
Yes, a lot of magic got used there.
Yeah. We didn't even say Magic Mike.
We should have called him Magic Mike. But if we do that live, they're going to start demanding that he does a striptease.
And you know what? He'd do it.
He'd do it.
Yeah.
So we're lucky in a way that didn't happen.
Do listen to Mike's podcast, Three Bean Salad, wherever you listen to your podcast. It is fantastic.
And St. Elwick's as well.
And St. Elwick's as well.
I think that stopped, but go back and listen to all those episodes.
Do. With Three Bean Salad, I would say really ration out. If you'd never listened to it before, ration it out. Because I listened to 5 in a day once and my brain went really bendy.
Yeah. That can happen.
Yeah. It's a very dense podcast. There's a lot of stuff going on in there.
Yeah. Unlike Arwen, there's not much.
No.
Really.
There's a lot. It's baggy.
Yeah.
Mike, Henry and Ben, they're great, great guys, but there's just a lot going on.
Yeah. With all three of them.
There's more beans than three.
Yeah. There's a lot of beans knocking around.
Yeah.
Or one bean between the three of them.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's perfect brains. I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But, yeah, again, no pressure. But, yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.